Ben Hogan. Anybody know that name? Ben Hogan was one of the golf greats. In 1946, he said, "All that is really required to play good golf is to execute properly a relatively small number of true fundamental movements." So the only thing you have to do to be really good at golf is just do a couple of small things really well. And are y'all aware that marriage is really that simple? All you got to do is just execute a few small things really well. And here's what I love about the Bible, because if you go to the Bible, you're going to find things like this in the Bible. It doesn't take a whole book. It doesn't take, many chapters. It'd be very easy to write everything in the Bible about marriage in a small little booklet. Husbands, all you got to do is love your wife. That's all you got to do. And leader, you got to be the head of your wife. Wives, all you got to do is submit to your husband and reverence him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The Bible doesn't make a huge deal about it. And then you get to 1 Peter chapter 3 here in the text that we were just in a moment ago. And what the Bible says is that you got to work at your marriage relationship by understanding each other. And here's something we've found in our counseling. Sometimes couples will say, my wife is da-da-da-da-da. And they're frustrated about their wife. Or a wife is frustrated about specifically her husband. But here's what I want y'all to realize. What you're going to find out is that, by and large, it's not your wife, it's women. The reason your wife is the way she is because she is a woman. And here's what you see. A lot of couples are like, okay, I'm fed up with my wife. She's not what she ought to be, or my husband. And so what they do is they leave each other. We're going to end this marriage and start with somebody else. How many of y'all know that a second marriage almost doubles the chances of ending a divorce over the first marriage? You know why? Because of the disappointment in marrying another woman and finding out she's just like the woman I just left. Because it's not about things that are necessarily always unique to your wife or unique to your husband's. What you find out is that God designed us in such a way that there are some things unique to women and there are some things unique to men. And we have to understand my wife will apply that differently or respond to things differently than maybe your wife will. But there's some things about my wife that's going to be true just because she's a woman. And there's going to be some things about me that's true just because I'm a man. Now, our culture doesn't like that. How many of y'all know that? Because our culture is like, you can be something else if you don't want to be a woman or a man. But how many of y'all know that science is on our side? You cannot. DNA is DNA is DNA. How many of y'all believe that? Now, I wouldn't have to work this audience too hard probably about that. And I wouldn't want to be weird about that, but it is true. Because we are designed in the image of a loving God. And aren't you thankful, men, that God didn't design your woman to just be another man? I mean, aren't you thankful for that? Seriously. And aren't you glad, ladies, that he's not another lady? But we can kind of sometimes, I wish he were, some ladies will be like, I wish he were like my girlfriends. Or I wish he were like my mom, for crying out loud. But if you stop and think about it, no, you don't want that. You don't want that. And you don't want your wife to be one of the buddies, like one of your buddies from high school. You don't want that. God designed her uniquely as a woman. Bethley is uniquely designed by our loving Heavenly Father to be a woman. I'm uniquely designed by our loving Heavenly Father to be a man. And we have to start by working to understand the differences in that. And somewhere along the way, we were reading and just were reminded. How many of you remember when you were dating? Let me see your hand. If you remember dating. Do y'all remember that? You remember what dating was like? You were enamored with each other's amazing qualities. How many of y'all remember that? You remember that? You were just so amazed. He was so amazing, wasn't he? And she was just so amazing. And here's what happens. Before marriage, we're enamored. After marriage, what we tend to do is we tend to lose the enamored and embrace the frustrated. Because after we get married, the things that we were enamored about before we married them can frustrate the daylights out of us now that we're married to them. But how many of y'all know that is an attack of the enemy about your marriage? So you've got to work to understand your differences, and we got a whole list of them here just to think through. Generally now, the difference in a man and a woman, all right? Men complain that women are always trying to change them, and generally speaking, women complain that men never listen, right? Men usually offer solutions. Women want empathy. How many of you have discovered that in your marriage yet? You ever tried to fix your wife, guys, when she was sharing something with you? You ever tried that? We have a friend in Michigan, and And you remember Dr. Call telling us about the day he came home and his wife was all frustrated and she was like, honey, I'm just telling you, this working at this camp is frustrating to me and this is happening and the kids, and she just unloaded. And he said, well, honey, I'm glad you brought that up. And he reached in his briefcase and pulled out the pad of paper that he had been working on to tell her what to do about her frustrations. How many of you ladies in this room know that it did not help solve her problem? How many of y'all know that? Remember that happened in our marriage? Remember that? Share that.
Hello.
Are y'all okay?
Okay. I hope we're thinking of the same illustration.
If we're not, I'll tell the other one.
I'm just going to be real and raw here. This was early in our child rearing years. So I think we had three little ones at this time, maybe just two. And so traveling in evangelism and ministry, we were busy. You all know busy. You don't have to be in the ministry to be busy. And so we were busy with our little ones. And I was not thinking spiritually or correctly. I will say that first of all. This is not a reflection on David. This is a reflection on Bethley.
It kind of is, actually.
All right. So,
because I did blow it. There's just no doubt about that.
So anyway, just in my busyness of being a mom and his busyness in our ministry, I started to think, does he even know what I do? Now, ladies, first of all, can I tell you he does not? He does not know what you do. And even when he does what you do, it's not the same thing, you know, but God didn't create you to swap roles or to even know all of that stuff. So anyway, first of all, David did not know what I was doing, but I was just like, oh, does he even know what I'm doing? And if he does he think I'm doing a good job? I mean, I didn't know, because to him, everything was fine. You know, if it wasn't fine, he was going to tell me, basically, is where he was. I was thinking, man, I must be blowing it. You, all you moms out there, you know where I am, right? Every day you go to bed every night and you're like, I missed this and I missed that and I didn't get that done and I didn't get that done. And oh my goodness. So that's where I was. But I knew better. I had grown enough in my spiritual walk with the Lord to know that I should not whine to him or complain or pout. I thought, oh, we're just going to have a conversation. So I said, hey, sweetheart, do you think that you could encourage me every once in a while? I just feel like I could use some encouragement. And he said, sure. I remember he looked a little confused, like, but he said, yeah, I can do that. So it was just a few days later. See, we would travel on Saturdays and we would start a meeting on Sunday. We would go all the way to Friday. We would get in the truck. We would go Saturday. So this was a Saturday. We're traveling. We're in the truck. Our three littles are in the back seat of the truck. And he said, hey, you remember that you asked me for some encouragement? And I said, oh, yes. So here is my thirsty, thirsty soul longing for encouragement from my husband. And he said, I've just been noticing your daily schedule. And I feel like if you would change this and this in your daily schedule,
don't hate me, ladies.
You would not feel so overwhelmed and stressed out and like you're not getting everything accomplished. Girls, I almost threw him out the window. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
And I was dumbfounded because I thought this was great encouragement to help her to not feel this way.
You know, I the Lord helped me not to say anything and not to throw him out the window. Obviously, he's with us. So, it was just a few days later, I was reading, I can't remember if it's 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, but I was reading where all of David's mighty men have been gone fighting and all of their women and children are taken captive and they come back to camp and the men are going to kill David. And the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And the Lord Jesus said, Bethley, where are you looking to for encouragement? You're looking in the wrong place. But isn't that a great example of how different we are?
Ever had anything like that in your marriage? Are we good? Aren't we all that way, though? Don't we all? But see, the difference is that you're married to a man, you're married to a woman, and you should expect those differences. That's what Peter is trying to point out to us. If you'll understand this will really, really, really help your marriage. You've got to work to understand the differences between men and women. Start with men and women in general. We just, somewhere along the way, found this huge list, and I wouldn't read you all of them, but how many of y'all agree with this? Men prioritize the sexual relationship. Women prioritize affection, communication, and understanding. Is that generally often true? The next one will crack me up. Men think that his wife should prioritize the sexual relationship, and women thinks that he should prioritize affection, communication, and understanding. Can't see any possible problems in a marriage here, can you? Men banish problems by not bringing them up. Women forget problems by discussing them with their husband.
At great detail.
That's very true. Men believe it's important not to talk. Women believe it is essential to talk. I read somewhere that women talk in fine print, whereas men typically speak in headlines. That's not always true. This is just general things, right? Men thrive on appreciation. Women thrive on communication, affection, and understanding. Men believe a solution makes everybody feel better. Women believe the solution is sharing the emotion. Isn't that interesting? It's no wonder we struggle in our marriages. These are just out there. We read in this article, women have stronger senses of taste and smell than men do. That explains some things if you'll chew on it a little bit. Women have thicker skin. It's actually men, rather, have thicker skin than women. Men's skin is 25% thicker than women's skin. That's in our science. So we're different, is all I'm trying to say there. Women have, this one's interesting. I love this one. Women have bigger memory centers in their brain than do men, which is why sometimes when you're arguing with your wife, she gets historical. Has that ever happened in your marriage? Your wife ever gotten historical? I mean, not hysterical, historical. There's a difference in that, isn't there? How many of you men ever been caught off guard by what your wife remembers when you're having a disagreement? Well, see, God designed her that way. See, so don't roll your eyes. The point is that we don't be like, oh my word, this woman I married. No, God designed her to remember more than you. So you can't let that bother you, see. You've got to understand that. Here's a couple of others. Women function better than men when they are sleep deprived. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if that's true in your marriage or not, but it's often true in ours. Bethany does a lot better when she's without sleep. She's still able to, you know, take care of the kids and make the meals and sing a song in church and smile at people. And when I'm sleep deprived, I don't do too well. I offend people. I just don't do well. Y'all with me on this? I won't go any further than that. Is that okay? Just y'all with me on this? This was in the notes, okay, just in the notes. I think we should share this, honey. Women tend to carry weight in their hips and thighs and men around their belly. We're different than that. Anybody identify with this? Let's not go there. But see, God designed us differently. My boys crack me up because I have three teenage boys. Well, I have a teenage boy and now two that are married in their 20s. And, boys, teenage boys especially, always like, got a six-pack, Dad, I got a six-pack. Where's your six-pack, Dad? It's like, buddy, I got a two-liter. And you can have your six-pack. I got a two-liter. And how many of y'all know there's a time in your life when all that begins to change? I joked with y'all last night about your wife, you know, married. You're twice the man she married. Well, that does happen. We all get that way, don't we? Life changes as you get older. One of the things I've discovered about the midlife crisis, you know, that's real and usually true of men. You rarely hear women talk about a midlife crisis. Women call it menopause. It happens somewhere in midlife, but men have a midlife crisis, and part of that is because God designed us as men to where we start changing in midlife. Our testosterone levels drop. We don't have the energy we used to have. We don't have even the sexual drive we used to have. Something starts happening as our testosterone drops. Our body says, oh my goodness, something is wrong. And what I need to do is prepare for winter. So I need to store up some fat around his middle. And next thing you know, a guy starts like, wait, I got love handles. And where did those come from? And I got a belly, and if you got kids, they'll point it out. Hey, Dad. My son took a photo of me and my dog some years ago. I was sitting on the couch in a t-shirt, and I was sitting in such a way, you know, I was kind of just sitting there. He took a photo of me and my dog and posted it on Instagram. You know what he put on there? It's a little caption. Look, two pooches. He's no longer in the will, but I still love him. But see, these things matter, don't they? You've got to understand, you're married to a man, ladies. You better get to know him. The Bible says here that you got to understand what makes your husband the way he is. And he's given you some suggestions in 1 Peter. Is there any others there we ought to share? That last one, number 16. You always like that one. Men are less likely to see a doctor, and when they do, they are more likely to lie about their condition than women are. You ever notice that's true, isn't it? Our son's been sick this year, and he was just not doing well, and finally got an appointment with a specialist, and my wife went up to be with him, and we were beside ourselves with concern over our son who's not well. And he goes in to see a doctor, and the doctor said to his mom, "You can come back too if you want." So mom is in there with, you know, our son and his wife. And so the doctor walks in, the specialist, and says, "How you doing?" And our son's like, "You know, I'm doing pretty good." And my wife was beside herself. If he'd have been younger, he'd have gotten a spanking. But he's too old for that. He lied to that. He's not doing too good. The kid just lost 42 pounds, and he's yellow as, you know, the pencil you used to use when you were in elementary school. No, you're not doing well. But that's how we men are. The point Peter's trying to make in this passage is that we have to work to understand our differences. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's start with your marriage this afternoon. Your wife is different than you. How well do you know that? Do you know her besetting sin? Do you know her insecurities? Do you know what she struggles with? And do you know where she needs encouragement and the Bible way to give it to her better than Dave Young? Are you getting to know her? And ladies, how about your husband? He's not a woman. Don't expect him to be. He's not your mom. He's not one of your girlfriends. He's different than you are. Many of the issues in marriages occur because of our expectations that he be different than what he is, that she be something different than what she is. Now, we can stop right here and say this, and you all agree with this, don't you? That we're different is no excuse for sin. Is that right? It's no excuse. There's no excuse for me to ever be rude, to ever treat her wrongly, to ever be harsh, to be impatient, to be unkind, to be rude, to belittle, to verbally abuse, and absolutely without any reservations to physically abuse. Sin is always wrong. So we're not excusing sin here. We're not giving any room at all for you to sin. But we are saying, if you don't understand that the woman you're married to is a woman and different than you, and the man you're married to is a man and therefore different than you, then you're going to struggle in your marriage. But it takes work to understand that. Work. You got to think it through and pray about it. How many of us say, you know what? I don't know that sometimes I don't understand. You ever here feel like that? Found a great verse for you. James chapter 1 and verse 5. You ever read it? It actually makes me smirk. Because James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 5, the word if is the word he used. And he said, if any man lacks wisdom, you could paraphrase it like this. Just in case there's a guy that doesn't know what to do, let him ask of God, which gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. How many of you thank God that you're not alone in this? That the day you got married, you made a covenant between the two of you and a covenant relationship with an almighty God who is real and powerful and has given us his word. I don't have to figure this out on our own. But we do have to be a student of it. It takes work for me to come to a place to understand that when my wife says, I need encouragement, that she's not asking me to help her to simplify her schedule by following mine. That what she wanted from me was to say, you're an amazing lady. You're an incredible mom. And our children are brilliant because you homeschool them. And you're a phenomenal cook. And you're still the most beautiful person I've ever seen in the world. That's what she meant. As a guy, I don't think that way, see. You've got to understand this. You've got to understand each other. And you ought to be a student of it. Takes a lot of work, doesn't it? How well do you know your husband? How well do you know him? What bothers him? What makes him uptight? What does he need from you to make him really, really enjoy a day? What does she need from you for her to feel, you know, just to really feel, man, I'm important to him? Peter starts here by just addressing that men and women are different. So he says, women, here's what you got to understand. Your husband is won by your spirituality and by your, this is interesting, isn't it? Meek and quiet spirit. What's he saying to the ladies there? To win a husband requires a spirit. It's a spirit matter. In other words, women, you gotta build your relationship to your husband with your spirit. He's going to say later, guys, you're going to build your relationship with your wife with your honor and understanding. So let's start with the ladies. What's he saying there? To understand the husband, to win him, to help him, it requires a meek and quiet spirit.
A meek and quiet spirit. It is a sweet spirit that encourages your husband without even having to use words. Now, you should use words. We talked about that last night. If you weren't here last night, I'm sorry. We talked about communication and how that in Ephesians 4:29, we are to use our words to build one another. But ladies, often we get stuck with the talk, 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 talk. And we talk our husbands to death. Even if we feel like we're saying good things, he really needs to hear this. He really needs to hear this. He really needs to hear this. Well, sometimes we're trying to be the Holy Spirit in his life, and there is a Holy Spirit, and he does a better job than we do. So we should leave that to him. But the Bible here in 1 Peter chapter 3 is talking about the meek and quiet spirit. Meekness is just a sweetness. And the quietness, actually, if you looked it up in the Greek, it means to keep one's seat. And we would say in our vernacular, we would say, know your place. Know your place. Now, it's not that you're not as important as your husband. We both have a role to fulfill, and David's going to talk about that, I think, tomorrow in a session. But that's not it at all. It's not like, well, I'm just this little quiet, mousy person that never says anything. But sometimes we open our mouths when we don't need to. And especially when these differences are starting to show themselves. Why does he do it that way? Why did he do it? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And we start opening our mouths. Instead, know your place. Okay, my place right now is to have a sweetness that David is encouraged by instead of discouraged by. And we talked about this last night too, how that we can, even without saying anything, we can let him know that we're not very happy. That's not a meek and quiet spirit. The meek and quiet spirit is, I am going to keep my seat. Instead of, oh, you did that again, standing up. We have a lot of ladies who stand these days. They stand on chairs, they stand on mountaintops, and they speak very loudly, and they're fierce women. We are not called to be that woman. We're called to be a biblical woman of God who follows our man, and we do it sweetly, and we do it by keeping our seat. Just stay seated, even if you're walking around your kitchen, instead of, oh, he's so different than me. He's not responding to me the way I want him to. Keep your seat. Keep your seat. Keep it sweet.
Pretty simple, isn't it? And here's the thing. It's never natural to do that. How many of y'all know that? Which is why we have the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things the Bible is letting you know here, ladies, is that your husband needs you to be different than the guys in his life. He needs your spirit. And when you're a gentle, sweet-spirited lady to your husband, it ministers to him. The Bible even has a promise here, a very strong one. This husband's not doing well. He's not doing well at all. In fact, he's not even obeying the Word of God.
But her spirit is the thing God says, I can use your spirit to draw your husband back to me. What a lesson, huh? Let his work at that. Pray about it. Don't let the culture damage your marriage. The culture says to you, women's rights, stand up. We're not talking about politics here. We're not talking about work here. We're not talking about can a woman run for office. That the Bible's not addressing that. The Bible's talking here about how to have a marriage that's amazing. And to have a marriage that's amazing, ladies, he said, remember this, work on this meek and quiet spirit. Because a meek and quiet spirit ministers to your husband. And ladies, part of that is sometimes just listening to him. Some women will say, you know, well, my husband never talks. But sometimes men are so wired slowly. Women talk emotions. You ever seen two women at a restaurant having a conversation? It's hysterical. Because they sit across from each other and she's like, da-da-da-da, and you know, they're mirroring each other. No. I can't believe it. Really? Guys don't talk. You ever seen two guys at a restaurant doing that? If you do, it'll make you nervous. If you see two guys going, oh, really? Oh, my word. That's a little awkward, isn't it? Because we don't expect that from two guys. Don't expect that from your husband. But you can listen. Because it takes longer for us as men to share what's in our heart. How many of y'all, did y'all know that, ladies? It takes longer for the average man to share what's in his heart. So, ladies, sometimes he'll start sharing what's in his heart, and if you're not careful, you jump in. Like you do with your girlfriend or your sister or your mom. You jump in. Because if you're talking to your mom and your mom says something, you're like, really? What happened? And why did it happen? And when did it happen? And who was there? And what did they say? And what time was it? And what did they do after that? And you fire those questions to your husband. Your husband is, it's not that he's mad. It's that he's so confused right now, he had no idea what he was starting to talk about to begin with. And he's like, I don't even know what I was saying. That's true. But you know what, guys? It goes the other way, too. If you're going to understand your wife is designed by God to be emotional. My wife and I walk most mornings. We did this morning. And when we walk, a lot of times we walk out of the, you know, it's early in the morning. We've had our prayer time. We've been in the Bible, and now we're going to take a walk before we get the day started, and we start walking. And most mornings, here's what happens. We walk out with our dog on a leash, and we start walking, and my wife starts talking. And she might start, you know, like this morning, she started talking about an issue that we're dealing with. I mean, just jump right in. So-and-so, this is what happened. This is the text. This is what's going on. This is what I've been thinking, and this is what somebody told me last night about it when I asked for advice. And so we walk probably two laps this place, and she's just telling me everything that's going on there. And I don't know the guys are ever that way. But God doesn't expect us to be that way. I have to understand that's how my wife is. So you know what I do? I listen. And when I listen to understand and I listen to respond in the way she needs me to, I don't have to be her mom. I don't have to be her sister. But I do have to know her well enough to know that my wife needs me. So when I periodically go, really? Wow. I didn't know that. And I ask a few questions. Well, what do you think about that? Or what'd she say? And by actively engaging, here's all this is about. It's working to understand our differences. Does this make sense or not? Here, there's two more screens I want to show you. Put the next one up there, guys, would you? Work to apply your understanding. That's what this is all about. Since your husband is not a woman, you got to win him differently than you would win another lady. And the Bible says here, women, here's how you do it. You make sure that you're spiritual enough to have a meek and quiet spirit and to show him honor and to remember why you married him in the first place. Nobody gets married, as far as I know, because they're forced to. My guess is that nobody in this room, somebody put a gun to you and said, you're going to say I do, and if you don't, you're going to meet Jesus. You married because you wanted to. Is that true of everybody here? Just out of curiosity, is anybody here that you got married but you didn't want to, but you did anyway? I mean, I'd like to meet you. So if you'd stand up and tell us, I'd like to know the story. But I wouldn't expect anybody to stand, would you? So we got married because we wanted to. You know why? Because when we are dating each other, we give each other grace in these areas. We understand she's a woman, and I love the fact that she's a woman. She talks and shares her emotions, and I can talk to her, and I trust her, and she trusts me. And as we start understanding each other in a dating relationship, what we would do is, let's get married. This is awesome. And then we say, I do, and we're like, I can't believe she talks so much. Why are we that way? I can't believe he's a man. Shame on us. God wants us to understand each other so we can apply the understanding. See, your wife is not my wife. And although we gave some generalities here, like, now forgive me, we're all married. Like most people would say, you know what, guys have a stronger sexual drive than do their wives. But we've counseled enough with couples to know, and statistics, as far as those who study these things and do polls and all that, would say that at least 10% of ladies would have a stronger desire sexually than their husbands do. I say that to say to you, maybe I gave an illustration here about how men and women are different, and you're thinking, well, we're not that way. We're a little bit on the other side. That's okay. You're not weird about that. See, because although I give generalities, my point is not to say that every woman is this way and every man is this way, and if you understand every woman is this way and every man is this way, then your marriage you can apply that in your marriage. No, what the Bible is saying here is, guys, you've got to understand that your wife is uniquely designed by God, uniquely in the image of God, uniquely a daughter of God, and you're to honor that, and you're to understand that, and you're to know that. And how many of you men understand that it is a lifelong process? Because the woman I married 29 years ago, we're 29 years down the road. And we've grown some in the Lord and changed some. And we even have some different views on things than we had 29 years ago. Anybody here ever change a view on something? I mean, there was some things we were more strict about 29 years ago and less so now. We change as we go through life. We learn about grace and we grow in the Lord. And then life can change you, can't it? I don't know what's going on in your life, but you're to understand your spouse. Bethy and I twice have had a fetal death in our marriage in which, you know, we had to have a baby that wasn't alive. The baby had to be born. That was a time for me to understand Bethly. To understand her. My wife changed during that time. My happy-go-lucky, fun-loving wife became very serious for about a year as she carried that burden. It was partially hormonal, but partially the grief of we wanted this baby and God didn't let us have this baby to raise. That baby's now with the Lord. Understanding your spouse means it's real time. Well, if your wife's going through menopause, this isn't a time for you to roll your eyes and sigh and look for somebody else who is different than your wife. This is a time for you to honor and understand where she is right now and invest in her. And I remember the first time Bethy was going into menopause and all of a sudden, just emotionally, she was...
The first time. There's only been one.
That's true. That's true. Just felt like a lot of beginnings. I do not lie. No, honestly, I remember that she was changing. Something wasn't right. I mean, it didn't seem right. I mean, she was bothered about things she'd never been bothered about before, namely me. And in ways that I'd never bothered. And I'm being a little silly about it, but we knew something wasn't right. And I remember sitting in a restaurant, and Bethy just pours out all this stuff. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I don't know why I'm so upset about this. I don't know what's bothering me. And honestly, guys, I'm sitting here going, I don't know either. But I know the Lord. And God's word says, if you don't know what to do, you lack wisdom, you can ask of me. And I'm listening to my sweetheart just pour it all out. We're on a date, and I'm thinking, wow, this is a little heavy for a little fun date tonight. And I say, Lord, Bethley's really troubled about this, and she's feeling awkward about it, and I've been feeling a little awkward about it. And God, what do we do? And I'm telling you, friends, it's not that I'm any better than anybody else. But I asked the one who does know, and God gave me wisdom, and I didn't know the answer. But I will tell you that the Spirit of God at a table helped me to know how to understand Bethly in such a way that it started us on a journey of walking through menopause in a positive, gentle, loving, growing closer kind of way. And we had to work at it. But it wasn't anything deep, but I remember saying, honey, I took her hand across the table. I don't know what's going on, but I love you and I always will. And I'm going to be here with you, whatever's going on. And I'm going to walk with you through this and I'm for you and it's okay. Nothing's going to change the fact that you and I love each other. Haven't you seen that in marriages where they're coming to the end and she doesn't know his name? They've been married for years, and she no longer knows his name. So what does he do during that time? He understands what's going on with her physically. You ever seen an older couple where he gets up every day and feeds her, but she doesn't know who he is? See, you start where you are because that's where you're headed. Life just is up and down, and we change and we alter. But Peter is saying, look, this is a spiritual matter of you understanding each other and working to apply your understanding. One more thing we'll tell you, I'll talk to you about, and then we'll go to dinner. Give us the next screen there, and look at this. This is a matter of different, not better or worse. It's not that your wife is better than mine. Your wife is just different than you. It's not, okay, and look at this next screen here. Differences, accept them, expect them, and respect them. Is your husband different than you? Then respect that. Respect that. It's okay. He's a man. Respect him. He's a man. If he's not as big a talker as, say, me and Brother Harold might be, we're in ministry, and if he's not as big a talker as, say, we are, man, I wish my husband would talk like Brother Dave or Brother Harold. Your husband's not Brother Dave or Brother Harold. If your husband is more silent, here's what you do about that. You say, that's my man right there. He's the strong, silent type. That's the man I married. That's my man. And if your wife is not my wife, then don't expect your wife to be my wife. She's uniquely designed by God. And so somebody says, yeah, but some things ought to be different. Isn't that what 1 Peter is talking about? When things aren't what they ought to be, then I need to understand my wife and honor my wife and help my wife to get where she ought to be and me to get where I ought to be and the two of us together get where we ought to be so that our prayers are not hindered so we can walk with God and please God. And my husband's not what he ought to be. So what do? You get a hold of God and the truths of God's word. And what you do is you respect the differences, but you grow together and you work on them and you come to an understanding of them and you apply God's word to your marriage and your life so you can have a happy, successful, spiritual Christian marriage. Does this make sense? Here's the next screen. Look at this one. Become a master at meeting each other's needs. My friend, Dr. Wayne Van Gelderen, who wears fuchsia ties, he has this line I heard that I thought was incredible. He said that any fault in your spouse is an arrow pointing at a need in their life that God called you to meet. That's phenomenal. You chew on that. Any fault in your spouse's life is an arrow. Faults are an arrow pointing to a need in your spouse's life that God called you to meet. How many of you are married to somebody that has a fault in their life? Anybody here at all? Willing to admit it? We all have faults, don't we? You know what the Bible's saying in 1 Peter? My wife married a sinner. And he has faults. So what Peter is saying is, did you know that the faults in his life, I put you in his life to help meet the need that is represented by that fault? And so Peter says, here's how you do it. This is how you do it, ladies. He's not a woman, so you got to understand that, and you got to master meeting his needs. Guys, she's not a man. She's a woman designed uniquely. You got to become a master at meeting her needs. How good are you at that? How good are you at ministering to each other's needs? Are you mastering that? There's a lot we could say here. So jump in here, baby, and help me with this one. Because we could say, I guess, that needs change all through life, don't they? And in some ways, men are probably, it's a little easier sometimes to discern men's needs than it is to discern women. Because our women are more complicated because God made them with usually a stronger emotional nature than he did you as a man. So that's just generally speaking. If you're married, ladies, for instance, to a younger man, in some ways, one of the great things about his needs is it could be summed up in one word. It's probably the word sex. God designed a younger man especially with a strong need in that area. It's connected not just physically, but to him emotionally and spiritually. And when a man feels like that need is not being met in his life, he'll withdraw. He feels less than a man. It becomes very difficult for him. And that's a strange thing to say, but it's one of the great needs in his life, especially if he's younger. As he gets older, you know what one of the great needs is? As a guy gets older, you know what the need is? He needs your patience. as he gets older. What was it Brother Harold told us today? You said you were going to use it. That was really good, wasn't it? And what is that?
It was about the grasshoppers.
The grasshopper. I've never heard that before. How did you say that?
When you were talking about in the Bible, the grasshoppers bothered somebody older.
Ecclesiastes 12. Okay. How did you say that? Something about the grasshopper becomes a burden when you get older, which means little things bother you. How many of you men are getting older? How many of y'all men are getting older? Little things bother you. So what does a man need as he gets older? More patience.
Or maybe you need to look at him and say, are the grasshoppers bothering you? That's what I told him I was going to say.
That's what she told me she was going to say. I'm going to bring that up, baby.
But that's not a meek and quiet spirit. Don't do that.
Write that down. Seriously, though, and we all are different. I know that. Your husband is unique. But you got to get good at math. You got to be a master at this. Talk to the ladies here for a moment about this, and to the men a little bit. Now this is a little bit different. Men, what are generally speaking a woman's needs? I say generally speaking, younger men, it's often sex, or as they get older, patience. Generally speaking, mastering. Got to be honest. Tell the men here, what do you think? Help the men to understand what are women's general needs?
Generally speaking, and. How many of you ever read the Love Languages book where there's, you know, all those different love languages? And if you take the little test at the end, you're supposed to tell what you are. Well, like, I'm multilingual. And so at any given time, David could be like, oh, well, yesterday this was her love language, but today, no. So,
girls, she's not wrong.
It's wrong to do that to our men. It really is. But generally speaking, gentlemen, your wife needs connection. She needs security. She needs assurance. That connection time can be really busy or really hard because we're so busy. And often, especially if we're talking about, oh, that screen's different now. Never mind. We're talking about husband's needs. Sometimes husbands are frustrated that their wife is not interested in romance. But it could be that she doesn't have that connection in her life. There could be a time that she's thinking to herself, are you, you're wanting to get amorous and you haven't even looked at me today. I haven't had a conversation with you in 48 hours because we're surrounded by little people of our own making. And it can be hard. It can be hard to get that connection time, but that she is wanting a connection, a face-to-face, let's have a heartfelt conversation, even if it's only about what happened at Walmart. She's wanting that face-to-face. I did have caffeine before this session.
She is not Pentecostal, and she is not speaking in tongues.
No, I am not.
But it's close. It's close.
She likes face-to-face connection before she gets lip-to-lip connection.
That was a good line. I've never heard that one before. Say that again.
I don't think I can. I'm having a hard time saying stuff.
Face-to-face, no lip-to-lip.
Well, and ladies, be careful about that too, because we can use that as an excuse. We can say, well, we need to have a conversation first. No, you need to meet his needs also. So don't use that as an excuse. But gentlemen, she is looking for connection. She's looking for assurance. Just like when I was that young mama thinking that I was failing at everything. I was just looking for some assurance. Now, did I need to go to the Word of God to get my encouragement? Yes, I did. Was it too much to hang on David to be my encourager all the time and to know exactly what I needed in the moment that I needed it? Yes, because he is not God the Father. He cannot do that for me. But, gentlemen, your wife loves it when you assure her. Hey, you're doing a good job. I love that. I love to know that I'm not missing the mark. And especially in those young mommy years, She feels like she's missing the mark every hour of every day. She just does. So that assurance is good. And then that security that your eyes are only for her all of the time in every season of life, whether she is 9 months pregnant and feels like a beluga, or whether she's going through menopause and the extra pounds are coming on and she doesn't know why they're coming on and why can't I get them off? No matter where she is in that whatever season of life, she likes that security that you are there for her all the time.
That awareness makes a big difference, my brothers, when you're very aware of her, when you reach for her hand while you're talking to somebody else, when you reach over and pull her into a conversation, or when you're just aware that, you know what, she's a little down, I'm going to stop and get her some flowers. She's struggling a little bit, so I'm gonna stop and get her a Big Mac. Or a Snickers bar. I don't think I've ever bought you a Big Mac, have I? Don't know where that came from, because I've never bought you a Big Mac in 29 years of marriage. But here's all we're trying to say to you. In a practical sense, Peter's being very practical, isn't he? He's being very practical. He's trying to tell us, your spouse has needs, you have needs, meet each other's needs. But he's also applying it spiritually. Because if you're at the couple's prayer advance and things aren't well in your marriage spiritually, he's really talking to you here specifically about what to do about that. And ladies, you might be pulling your hair out wanting your husband to be the spiritual leader he ought to be, and he's not being one. But getting uptight and bothered and frustrated at him will not get him there. Peter says, try this instead. Have a meek and quiet spirit. Work harder on making sure that you are beautiful inwardly. Make that the focus of your life. And what he says is, husbands, your wife needs you to understand her. And your wife needs you. She needs you to honor her. From you, not from some guy at work. Not from her daddy. From you. And brothers, if your wife's struggling spiritually, what you do is you honor her. This is what Peter is saying. You honor her. Honor. This is, Pastor Appreciation Month. And you ought to honor your pastor, and I hope you do. You know how you honor your pastor, don't you? Our church, I've been getting some messages on Facebook Messenger because every connection group in our church is doing a separate Let's Honor Pastor. And our connection group, I saw this week, and we've not done anything with it yet, but our connection group is, they're putting together a gift basket. There's this event down on Pensacola Beach that's like, a couple of $100 to take his family there. It's this play thing. And then their favorite restaurant is the Grand Marlin, and so we're putting a gift card in there for their favorite restaurant. And then you can give money and cards, and there's several. Every connection class, what are we doing? We're investing in our pastor because we're honoring him. He's our preacher. He's our pastor. He's worthy of our honor, so we're honoring him. You see that picture? So how do you honor your wife? See, it honors my wife when I get up in the morning, instead of running into my day, I take time to walk a couple of laps around a RV park in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and listen. I'm showing her honor. When I take her on a date and buy her coffee or tea, she drinks hot tea, I'm honoring her. And the Bible says you got to get really good at that. This is so simple, brothers and sisters. If things aren't well in your marriage, just go to work on it today. Ladies, say, God, help my spirit to be well towards my husband. Pray that. And guys, pray this. God, help me to honor the wife you let me marry. Ask God to help you to know how to have a better spirit towards your husband. Ask God about that. And then do it. And ask God to help you to honor your husband. Say, God, or your wife, God, how can I honor my wife? And let the Spirit of God lead you and help you to do it. Does this make sense? How many of y'all are hungry? Y'all ready to go eat? And in Gatlinburg, that could take 3 days. Right? Traffic's crazy. But we want you to eat a good meal, and we want you to join us again for the services this evening. And if Beth and I can help you, then we certainly can. Here's what we find at conferences like this. People need help, need to talk, need to discuss something, but you don't get the chance to. And so Tomorrow morning, we're going to do a little question and answer session. Is that still right? A panel discussion? And so there might be something we can discuss then, but you can always reach out to Bethley and me. We can give you our email address. You can find us on social media. You can go to evangelistdaveyoung.com, and you'll find my email on there. And I don't counsel ladies, just so you ladies know, Bethley always does that. And so if you need counsel, ladies, my wife will help you. Men, if you need counsel, I'll help you. If we can help you in any way, we'd be glad to do so. Brother Harold, it's all yours, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys. That was great. Hey, just a quick note. There's some good restaurants. Instead of going where everybody else is, go out of the parking lot and go down near the coffee shop, turn right, go up to the stoplight, turn left. There's some good restaurants that way that are very close and might save you some time. Okay, tonight, 6:45. If you enjoyed this, say a big amen. All right, tonight, 6:45. Thank you.